This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home, and my voice is a little rough today, because I caught myself a little cold. I'm usually very, very careful about these things, but my wife had come down with something, and she's had trouble with allergies and bronchial stuff in the past, and she said, this really just feels like allergies, and I said, okay. Sometimes you should take precautions, and I did not. So, no smooching with the wife when she has a cold and she thinks it's allergies. But anyways, so I have a cold. The other thing is, I'm not actually driving home today. I kind of lied a moment ago. I'm actually driving to the hospital because my daughter and son-in-law had their second child yesterday. Everything went well, so I'm going to run down to the hospital, see mom and dad and kiddo, and say hello to everybody, and then I'm going to head home after that. But I thought, well, as long as I'm going to the hospital, I might as well chat on our way down there. This might be a little shorter than normal, but it will all be good and fine, I hope. It is episode 210 today, so that's kind of a nice round number, 210. Just for historical purposes, yesterday, Asher William Beauchamp was born. 10 and a half pounds, I think, is what he came in at. Big boy. He was 22 inches, and it was a surprisingly fast delivery. I had planned to wait until they had Lizzie, my daughter, in the delivery room, and then to finish out the day and then head down. She had been having contractions from about 3 o'clock in the morning on, and so once they hit 5 minutes apart, they packed everything up and headed in, and at one point they were going to just go ahead and send her home, my nose is whistling, sorry, because they thought, no, it'll be fine, even though they were going to induce the very next day, but then I think they kind of looked at it again and went, well, okay, so I think she got into the delivery room sometime around 3, I took off from headquarters thinking, okay, they, you know, just got into the delivery room. I took off from headquarters about 3:30 because I got a couple of stops I needed to make. I hit the hospital around 4:45, and I think it was very close to that that Alan sent a text to us and said, she's fully dilated, and we're like, woohoo, okay, baby boy's getting ready here, and I made it up to the waiting area by about 5:10 or so and set up my computer and was looking at a few things, and my phone went plink. Actually, my first wife's husband came out and he found me and he said, Susan says that the baby's here. I said, what? And then it was shortly after that I got a text that Alan said, yep, he's born. So he came fast. And they said that after Lizzie was fully dilated, that she only had to push like 3 or 4 times. And so good, yay, he's here, he's healthy, everything's good. She's good, everybody's good. Praise God, everybody is fine. My big responsibility at this point is feeding the dogs, so that I can do. So I'm going to be heading home to feed the dogs here in a little bit. Anyways, quickly, this week, actually I had read this article a couple of weeks ago, and I went ahead and bookmarked it because when I read the title of the article, my first immediate thought was, yes, answering the question of the title, and And it was then as I kept reading the article, I thought, well, yeah, good. And the title of the article was, Is Giving the Secret to Getting Ahead? And the answer to that is yes. And they were talking about a PhD. His name is Adam Grant. He is the youngest tenured and highest rated professor at Wharton. He's also one of the most prolific academics in his field, organizational psychology. And the author of this article was talking about what it was like to meet him. The author had met him after one of his classes, said he had a swarm of students around him, and he immediately took off walking for his office, and he was talking to these students the whole time, answering questions for them, helping them any way that he could. But he said he knew there would be other students that were waiting for him at his office, and he didn't like to keep them waiting. But the article goes on to describe this man's life, and it's really amazing the level of productivity this guy has that is specifically devoted to helping others. Now, as the article points out, he does have a wife who takes care of his children at home, and so that certainly helps. But he is also focused on the fact that he is, in my terminology, trying to create an environment of success, both in terms of his relationship with his wife and in terms of his relationship with his children. But what's interesting about his approach is it's not touchy-feely. There's a lot of studies that he uses to talk about his approach. But he is also focusing on the fact that the way we find meaning in our jobs is to focus on how what we're doing helps others. And to make that our primary goal, not to make the goal of our jobs simply to make money, but really to focus on how what we're doing assists others. And he cited some interesting studies that he had done and his own experience where, I guess when he was in college, one of the ways that he was trying to make some money was selling, I think it was door-to-door something, magazine subscriptions or something for a scholarship fund. And it was a bit of drudgery for him until he started thinking about the students that would be benefited by this scholarship fund. And he said once he started doing that, then he really started being able to focus more on being more persistent, you know, attempting to close the deal, those types of things. And he said, in fact, he afterwards, after he'd become very successful at this, and after he'd been given a lot of responsibility, one of the things that he would do is he would bring in students who had received scholarship money to give a little talk to the people who were working the phones. Maybe it was phone calling. I think it was phone calling. It wasn't door-to-door. Who were working the phones to just have a student say, you know, this really helped me out, and thank you so much for your work, and that kind of thing. And he said, what's interesting is he said, according to his studies, this always helped improve productivity. It always helped increase all the numbers, even if you went back and you interviewed the workers later to say, did that help you? And they would say, oh, no, I don't really think that made much difference. But there was something going on in the back of their mind that when they had a chance to focus on others as opposed to focusing on themselves, that they would work harder, which, you know, that's pretty interesting. And he has a book. The name of the book is Givers and Takers or Give and Take, something like that. And I'm going to go ahead and download and read the book because it sounds like a very interesting book. But in the book, He does talk about the fact that he classifies... Oh, someone's calling me. One moment. I'm going to go ahead and call them back in a minute. I forgot to turn that off. I imagine this is... I will call him back in a minute. That's actually my nephew calling me, and I'm at the hospital, and there's people and crosswalks, and so I'm trying to make sure that I don't hit anybody. Here we go. Anyways, so he classifies in this book that there are basically three types of people in the world. That there are givers, that there are people who actually give with less thought of what it will gain them to do so, that they're really interested in just helping people. There are matchers who will give, but they'll only give if they think, oh, I might be able to get something back from this. And he said, and then there are takers. And obviously takers are just people who are always concentrating on getting the best deal for themselves. So one of the interesting things, he's done several studies of seemingly innocuous things just to see what the difference would be. One of them was that they put up signs at hand-washing stations in the hospitals. And one of the signs reminded doctors and nurses, quote, hand hygiene prevents you from catching diseases. Another one read, hand hygiene prevents patients from catching diseases. And he measured the amount of soap used at each station, and he said doctors and nurses at the station where the sign referred to patients used 45% more soap or hand sanitizer. I'm just getting calls from everybody here. I'm going to have to return here in a minute. Anyways, so it's very interesting because, you know, I've said for some time that... if you are less self-focused and more other-focused, and that if you are focusing on not only creating an environment of success for yourself, but creating an environment of success for others, that that will be a help for you. And as I was reading through all this, I was thinking, yep, that's right. For one of the things, for instance, he wrote that givers motivate themselves to avoid complacency by focusing on the benefits to others if they succeed and worrying about disappointing them if they fail. What was amazing about all this is the author was saying that one night this professor had forwarded him a grateful email from a student whose life, the student said, had changed because of some of the advice Grant gave her. The author of the article commented that most people would be thrilled to receive a note like that in a lifetime. And Grant said, well, I get several dozen a week, which he said, I'll send you some. And he said at around 8:30 that evening, the emails started coming in. And by the next morning, he had 41 emails from the preceding week that this guy had gotten, which, you know, I mean, this sounds like a wonderful way to live. And it does sound like the guy is attempting to find balance, because they talked about this in the article, and I'm sure it talks about it in the book, this idea of balance and understanding. And for me, that all comes back to really creating an environment of success for yourself and the people around you, and understanding that all has to be in balance. You can't really help people if you aren't getting sufficient sleep. You can't help people in a good way if your home life is falling apart. You aren't helping your wife if you never spend time with her. You aren't helping your children if you never spend time with her. So, I mean, I know some people will take this and just say, well, if I'm giving all the time, then I'm never going to have time for me. But that's not what we're really talking about. We're talking about being strategic and open and allowing ourselves to help create environments of success for other people. And it's interesting because this professor, Professor Grant, Dr. Grant, believes that in terms of giving, that we all have the same muscle. It's just that he and other givers in his book have exercised it more. And this is one of the quotes that I found really interesting. By consistently overriding their selfish impulses in order to help others, they had strengthened their psychological muscles to the point where using willpower for painful tasks was no longer exhausting. And what he was referring to was a study that found that most people lose physical strength after enduring a test of will, like resisting chocolate chip cookies when they're hungry. Typically, the study's subjects could squeeze a hand grip for only 25 seconds after an exercise in willpower. But one group distinguished themselves, squeezing the grip for 35 seconds after the test of willpower. They were people who were on the giving end of the other directedness scale. So that's pretty interesting, that this process of giving, that this process of practicing not being completely self-centered actually helps you in many ways. And they do talk about, as they conclude the article, that this Professor Grant directly attributes the great amount of publishing that he does and the great amount of opportunities that he has, he directly attributes that to the way he helps people, because it gives him lots and lots of contacts and actually helps him encounter many, many people and gets lots and lots of perspectives. And to that I said, yes, I understand that completely, because in the process of giving my time to meet with people, to have breakfast, to have dinner with them, to just get together to chat, there's so much I learn and so much gets churned up in my creativity. And I have so many opportunities to bounce ideas off people that if I wasn't getting together with my friends, I'm not sure that my writing would be any near what it is, or that the things that I think about and how I approach life would be anywhere near what it is. And so I'm all for this. I am all for making time in your life to help out others, making time to share your life with others, because I think it just brings a richness to our lives that you really can't get any other way. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it to the hospital, and I'm going to go see my grandbaby. Have a great day.